I think Bill and I, as you said very honestly, we know we're among friends. We can tell you anything.
We're not. We have known each other for a long time, and I've also watched Bill Phelps, and he has a great future in politics in the great state of Missouri. And we want you to work hard for Bill Phelps while you're also working hard, of course, for other Republicans. And I hope there's some Democrats and independents in the audience, because they count double and triple almost in some cases. I just happen to believe that the last 2 weeks can make the difference. I'm out around the country doing my best for President Ford and trying to keep Carter and Mondale straight. Believe me, that's full time. But they're shaping up pretty well. I think the polls are looking better. It's going to be a tough race. We started 30-some points behind in the polls, and the latest, somebody handed me one tonight that says we're 4 points behind with 9% undecided. I think they're probably 15 to 20% undecided. As I said downtown, much will depend on the debate on Friday. I just have a feeling President Ford is going to be in there, and he's going to be relaxed. He's going to talk to the American people, and they're going to leave their sets convinced this man has the experience, he has the leadership, and he has the confidence that we need for the next 4 years. I just hope that you're out there working for President Ford. Because as I've said before tonight, if he makes it, I'm going to make it. And I don't want to invoke the good neighbor policy that Carter tries all over the South, but I am from Kansas. I think it's more important than where I am geographically is where I am philosophically. And that's really what this election is all about. If you want the ultra-liberal ticket, and I mean ultra-liberal ticket, of Carter and Mondale, with more government, more spending, more controls, more interference in your everyday lives, you've got a perfect ticket. You've got a ticket to nowhere, the Carter-Mondale ticket. But if you want some restraint and some rein on spending and a strong defense for peace in America and peace in the world, less interference and less control, you've got a winning ticket in Jerry Ford and Bob Dole. On going in Missouri, and I know some in this audience were Reagan supporters. That's behind us. Governor Reagan is out front for us. We want to get all of his people out front for us. And I would just ask, as Governor Reagan has, just take a look at these platforms. You know, I've said theirs ought to be turned into the safety director. It's dangerous. You can't stand on it. You'd fall off and tilt so far to the left. Five new or increased spending programs in their platform, 22 new or expanded agencies to handle those programs, and then Governor Carter talks about reorganization and streamlining government. It just isn't so. He's going to spend, he says he's not going to spend $100 billion, maybe he's going to spend more. But he fired off a telegram to President Ford on Saturday complaining because President Ford was telling the truth. They haven't heard it for so long in their campaign, they don't recognize it when they see it. But I think perhaps it's all going to come home to roost, and Governor Carter will retire to the plains. There's been a great deal of development there, and probably he can handle that in the next few years. But seriously, we need your help. Missouri is about 50-50. I understand it's sort of like a teeter-totter. It could go either way on November 2nd. But we believe, with the help of Bill Phelps and Kit Bond and Jack Danforth and John Ashcroft and Shirley Matty, where's Shirley? Another $5. And of course, my good friend Gene Taylor, who's off somewhere else tonight, or he would be here. With all the people swinging at the same, I don't. Don't get me wrong, I'm just swinging for victory. Thinking of Playboy, I don't get all mixed up. But that's the way it goes. And as I said, we'll concede the bunny vote to Carter, but we're in a tough race. We understand that. We think most Americans understand that. I just simply ask for your help, and I'd say finally that it's a pleasure to be invited here by Dr. and this is Susan Milne, Clay and Susan Milne. We're on first name basis already. Sorry, they're betas. I'm a Kappa Sig, but Bill Phelps has indicated what great friends you are and were, and of course, Bill Phelps needs some help too. So when you're out there doing all this, we appreciate it very much, and we thank you for it. I guess Americans sometimes wonder why they really work for candidates. And I think that gives us the obligation and thrusts upon us the obligation to have faith in those people who helped us and faith in all American people. And we have that faith, and Jerry Ford is going to prove it the next 4 years. Thank you very much.
Standing, let me present one guest that we have from Washington. This is Mr.
Pleasure and my honor to present to you a person from whom I have the highest personal regard, a great United States Senator, and will be, in my judgment, one of the greatest vice presidents that this nation has ever had, Bob Dole from Kansas. Senator Dole.
Thank you very much, Gene, and I appreciate it. 2 weeks from today, of course, there's not much we'll be able to do, but between now and then, we hope to travel around a bit and do what we can to help President Ford, really do what we can to help America, whether they're Democrats or Republicans or Independents, and it seems to me that Gene just touched on the real difference in our parties, but the problem is not many people are going to read those platforms. Jimmy Carter knew that at the time, and I guess we knew that at the time ours was written, that we talk about platforms, we point up the differences, but not many people really read the platforms. Can't kid ourselves. I guess if we took a poll in this room, I doubt that we would have over 95% who've read the platforms. I haven't read it myself lately, but I did look over at, we had a little debate down in Houston or whatever it was, stand-up press conference, and as I said, I had a cold and got a little worse that night. Was there a lot of, I was standing next to a draft for 75 minutes, and what a draft it was, standing next to a man who's voted for every defense cut, who's voted for every new weapon system. I just kind of wonder if, when you stop to think about it, as they ask us in our first question, are we qualified to be president? What would happen if we had a Mondale in the White House based on his past record on defense alone? It's enough that he's the most liberal Senate in the United States Senate, but we take a look at his defense record against a B-1 bomber, against a Trident submarine, against the main tank, against the F-14 fighter, against the space shuttle system, and on and on and on and on, voting against every defense cut, voting for every defense cut, even in excess of cuts in the committees. And I want to stress just for a few minutes, we get down to the wire in this campaign. Our surveys indicate that American mothers and American fathers, and as I have said, grandfathers and grandmothers are concerned about peace and they're concerned about strength. I think we ought to look at the record. We ought to look at President Ford's record in defense, and Gene Taylor knows that for the first time this year in some 10 years, we have real growth in our defense budget because of the efforts, the personal efforts of President Ford. Now, we don't want to spend your tax money for defense just to be spending money, just to be creating jobs. We want to spend it so our nation will be strong and secure, so that our young men can go on to school and follow their normal pursuits, not end up in some far-off place in a war. And that's really what it's all about. And I say our best hope for peace, our best hope for security and strength, lies with President Ford. Not with a Carter-Mondale ticket. Carter, in 75, said cut the defense budget $15 billion. He's now lowered it to 5 to 7. Says he's going to make it more efficient. Well, he hasn't told us how. The very time we ought to be increasing our budget, he's talking about cuts. And so if I can't say anything else this morning, I want to stress that one point. I want someone to ask Senator Mondale what kind of a defense posture we'd have today had his votes prevailed in the Senate. How many thousands and thousands of people would be out of work? What would our position be in the Mideast? What would our position be in the world? Would we be respected by our friends and our adversaries? No. He knows it. But that's the liberal kick. That's the liberal kick. Vote against defense. Vote against defense. Take it out of defense. Just take it and take it and take it. Well, that's the side they're on. The very, very liberal side. And to those of you who are in business and want to preserve what you have in your business, take a look at their record. I'm not trying to frighten anyone. I'm trying to encourage businessmen and professional men and others to go to work. Voting is not enough. Because if there's going to be any apathy, we think apathy's on the Carter side. He doesn't enthuse anyone. He does confuse, but he doesn't enthuse anyone. And we have an opportunity. Those of us who are concerned about the free enterprise system, really concerned about the free enterprise system, to go to work in the next 2 weeks and make the difference. He talks about change. I say let's not be shortchanged. That's the change he would bring. And I'll go back just to one line in his AP interview on taxes. Oh, and he screams and squirms and wiggles. Says he didn't really mean that. Well, he said it. One thing he said, he was going to treat all income alike. He hasn't denied that. He probably will if he hears about it. But he said it. He said it to the Associated Press. And some of you in business and some who have stocks and some who have breeding stock and you've used the capital gains tax, that's going out the window, according to Governor Carter, if he's elected. He also said, of course, that nobody wanted their taxes lowered. Maybe that's true. I haven't found many volunteers. But we do have a doctor with us. If anybody feels so disposed, we'll be glad to have you checked over. But the man who wants a tax cut for America is President Ford. The man who's concerned about middle-income Americans is President Ford. And I offered an amendment on the Senate floor during consideration of the tax bill to raise a personal exemption from $750 to $1,000. That would have cost about $10 billion. That was real tax relief for middle-income Americans. But the liberal Democrats voted it down. I think I had 20-some votes. So it's not enough to stand up and say, I'm for tax reform. It may be enough for some, but it's not enough for this group or any other group. What is your tax reform, Governor Carter? What do you mean by tax reform? Is it what you told that group of small businessmen in the Club 21 in New York City with Henry Ford? Say, don't worry about any tax reform. I won't do anything for a year. Or to what you told the American people when you said our national tax system is a disgrace. It's time to fish or cut bait, Mr. Carter. And I've said before, it'd be very refreshing if Governor Carter would buy a little TV time. In fact, maybe they'd give it to him if he would say something. But if not, he could buy the TV time. And he could stand up and tell the American people, Democrats and Republicans and independents, this is my final position. This is my final offer to the American people. These are my views on tax reform. These are my views on agriculture. These are my views on labor. These are my views on business. It's not going to happen because he understands, or at least he thinks he understands, the way to win this election is to tell anybody or everybody anything they want to hear. So I just hope in the next 2 weeks, and I say it very seriously, that we need your help. Now, he's got his ducks all lined up. George Meany's out there, and Leonard Woodcock's out there, and Jerry Wirth's out there. You know, they tried to bump Gene Taylor in 1974, labor leaders, not the working men and women, because they understand. They didn't get the job done. They tried to do it to me in 1974, and now they're after the White House. Well, they already got the Congress. Let's not give them the keys to the White House, either the back door or the front door. I happen to believe that labor should have great influence in this government of ours. They represent a lot of people. But 75% of America's working men and women do not belong to labor unions. They ought to have a voice, too. It just seems to me that that's the responsibility of businessmen, small businessmen, large businessmen, farmers, professional men and women, to make certain we have some balance in our government. So it's up to us, and I look forward to the next 2 weeks. I'm very relaxed about the campaign and about the election. You know, we've gone from 32-point deficit to almost dead even, and that says a great deal for the American people. Maybe not so much for the ticket, but a lot for the American people. Now, we were told that one of the trouble spots was in this district because a lot of the Reagan people weren't so enthusiastic about the Ford Dole ticket. Well, I don't really believe that. I've been around here almost long enough to vote since we pulled in yesterday. But I don't really believe that. I think I've seen everyone in Springfield at least once since I've been here. And I don't find that lack of enthusiasm. And whether we generate it or Governor Carter generates, it doesn't make much difference. But I think if you take a look at our records, maybe not the platform, but take a look at President Ford's record, take a look at my record, take a look at Senator Mondale's record, and try to find out what Governor Carter's record is, you're going to vote for President Ford, and you're going to work for President Ford. You're going to call your neighbors and your friends and those who work with you and for you, because it's just that important. Governor Carter was quoted this morning as saying, the election is up for grabs. I think it probably is. I think it's just that close. Somebody who visited with President Ford yesterday said about the same thing. So it indicates that both sides are now saying it's very, very close. And a state like Missouri could make the difference. And I say that honestly, too. Because we understand it's very close here. The state of Missouri is up for grabs. Now, we're going to hang on to Gene Taylor's coattails and Kit Bonds and Jack Danforth and John Ashcroft and Shirley Maddy and everyone else. I get a little extra for mentioning Shirley Maddy. So, just hang in there, and we'll all go up together. And I don't want to come here and say I'm your neighbor, but I am. I don't want to sound like Governor Carter as he travels around the South saying, you got to vote for me because I'm from the South. I ask you to vote for me because I'm not because I'm your geographical neighbor, because I'm your philosophical neighbor. That's what's important. Doesn't make any difference where I live. And I doubt that anyone or very many here have been to Russell, Kansas for very long. But it's a nice place. It's home. And we're going to carry Russell, Kansas. I'll bet on that right now. I'm not certain about Plains, Georgia, but we're going to carry Joplin, aren't we?
You bet.
Good. Well, and Springfield, right. Well, it's a pleasure being here. We're going to go out to the Nixon farm, George, that is, and the Maddox farm was busy this morning. We couldn't go there, so we're going to head out to the Nixon farm. And George is not related. I want to make that perfectly clear to that other fellow, but they keep talking about the Nixon Ford, and I always thought his first name was Jerry, but that's the Carter-Mondale strategy, is to keep raising this Nixon name somehow. That's supposed to set people on fire. I haven't noticed anything like that, but it's fair game, and so it occurred to us that there was the Maddox-Carter administration down south, and Lester's one of those progressive governors who like to issue axe handles to keep blacks out of his restaurant. And Carter used to say what a great man he was and hoped he could measure up to his standards. And he may yet. I don't know what he has in mind. But so we're going to continue our quiet defense of the president. And we don't want to upset Carter and Mondale. They can dish it out, but they just can't take it. They've been playing so much softball down in Plains, but they've been doing all the pitching. Carter's never done any of the catching. In these last 2 weeks, he may have to do a little catching. And we just say that it's fine for him to stand up and castigate the President of the United States and smile and smile, and everybody's supposed to sort of absorb all that. But we'd like to keep the record straight. So we're going to go out now and talk about agriculture on the Nixon farm. And talk about my role in agriculture come January. And the president's indicated to be a very significant one. But we appreciate your coming. And to those from Joplin who didn't make it, I'll be glad to send them a transcript of Gene Taylor's remarks. But we need your help. We really want your help. We think we can prevail. We believe the majority of people share the views expressed or reflected in this group. And if this group goes to work and groups like this across the country, it may not be so close. We may win by 2 or 3%. Thank you very much.